There is a seed of anger in our stored consciousness. When that seed of anger is not water, we are okay. We can smile. We can have a good time. But when the seed of anger in us is water, we suffer. Because when it is water, it manifests itself on the upper level of our consciousness, called mind consciousness. This is the seed of anger. This is the energy of anger. In our tradition, we call it mental formation. In Buddhist psychology, we speak of 51 varieties of seeds. And anger is just one kind of seed. And when the seed of violence, of our anger is manifested as energy, we call it a mental formation. Anger as a mental formation. Anger is a seed, as a seed. And when anger has become a mental formation, it is the kind of energy that makes us suffer. And if we don't know how to handle, it will make our beloved ones suffer also. And the practice is that every time anger manifests, you have to invite some other seed to manifest, to take care of anger. And that usually we invite the seed of mindfulness to come up. Mindfulness is always mindfulness of something. When you drink mindfully, there's mindfulness of drinking. The object of your mindfulness is drinking. When you walk mindfully, that is mindfulness of walking. When you look at things mindfully, whether they are the blue sky or the beautiful trees, it's called mindfulness of looking. But mindfulness is not only to be mindful of the positive things, the lovely things. When anger manifests, we practice mindfulness of anger. Breathing in, I know anger is in me. Breathing out, I will carefully take good care of my anger. If you are truly mindful, you can see the positive things and the negative things. If you exercise your duty in such a way that you are always looking for the negative, that's not good for your health. That's not good for the health of your society and your family. Mindfulness is always mindfulness of something. And when you practice mindfulness, you have an opportunity to get in touch with the wonderful, refreshing, healing elements in yourself and in the world for your nourishing and transformation. If mindfulness only focuses on the negative things, that would be a pity. But right mindfulness has the capacity of transforming the negative things. And this is the case. When anger manifests as a mental formation, it has the power to burn, to destroy. And if you don't know the practice of mindfulness, you allow yourself to be burned, to be destroyed by anger. And other people who live around you will suffer also. That is why, as a practitioner of mindfulness, when you notice that anger is coming up, you have to do something right away. You have to act, not just to react. You have to act, inviting the seed of mindfulness to come up. Breathing in, breathing out, making steps, generating the energy of mindfulness in order to take care of the anger that has manifested. When you breathe in and out, or you practice walking meditation, you generate the energy of mindfulness. Suppose we call the energy of anger energy number one. And then you can call the energy of mindfulness energy number two. Energy number two manifests in order to take care of energy number one, not to fight. It's like a mother. The mother is working in the kitchen and she hears the baby crying. She's mindful. So she put anything that she is holding down and goes into the room of her baby. And the first thing she does is to pick up the baby and hold the baby tenderly into her arms. This is exactly what we do when the energy of anger comes up. Our anger is our baby, our ailing baby. Our anger is us. The mother is not trying to suppress the baby because she knows that her baby is her. The baby should be taken good care of. The practitioner knows that her anger is not her enemy, that is her suffering baby. She has to take good care of her baby. And how? Using the energy of mindfulness in order to embrace your anger in the most tender way. Breathing in, I know that anger is in me. Breathing out, I'm holding peacefully my anger. There are two kinds of energy present, and you are safe. The energy of mindfulness continues to be generated by the practice of mindful breathing, mindful walking. And it begins to penetrate into the zone of energy number one. It's like in summer, when you got into that room, it's so hot. The hot air. And you know what to do. You turn on the air conditioner. As soon as the air conditioner begins to function, it begins to send out waves of cool air. And the cool air does not need to chase the hot air out. No, the cool air is coming and embracing tenderly the hot air. And 15 minutes later, the situation is different. There is no fighting in this practice. Your anger is not your enemy. It's you. It's not good to do violence to yourself. Don't say that anger is evil. And mindfulness is good, and good has to fight evil. That might be true in some other tradition, but not in this tradition of mindfulness. The energy, the tenderness of the mommy begin to penetrate into the baby. The mother does not know what is the roots, the cause of the suffering of the baby. But the fact that she is holding the baby tenderly can already bring a relief. The baby might just stop crying just because the baby feels better being embraced by the energy of tenderness. The baby got a relief. You do the same. When anger is there, you practice mindful breathing, generating the energy of mindfulness in order to embrace, recognize anger. And 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, you get a relief. Anger is in control because the mother, the big sister, the big brother is there to take care. And the mother, the big sister, the big brother is your mindfulness. That we call mindfulness of anger. After having held the baby for a few minutes, the mother, who is mindful, will find out what is wrong with the baby. She is mindful, she is concentrated, and mindfulness and concentration always bring insight, understanding. She find out that what caused the baby to cry. The maybe may have a little fever. The baby may be hungry, or the diaper is a little bit too tight. I'm not a mother. So the example I offer may not be appropriate. After having found the cause of the suffering of the baby, the mother can change the situation very quickly. If the baby is hungry, and then a bottle of milk, some yogurt. If the baby, if the diaper is too tight, she just change diaper. And then both mother and the baby will be happy. As a practitioner, you do the same. If that is a minor irritation, a good practitioner should be able to embrace that irritation and to transform it in just a few minutes. If that is a more important energy of anger, and the practitioner has to be more patient. She should continue to generate the energy of mindfulness in order to embrace tenderly her anger. She can bring a relief, but she can do better. With mindfulness and concentration, she can look deeply into the nature of her anger and find out the roots. There is nothing that can survive without food. That is what the Buddha said. The Buddha as a teacher, not as a god. We quote the Buddha like we quote the Socrates or Pythagoras or Copernic. The Buddha is a human being. He had suffered a lot. He had practiced and was able to transform his suffering and was able to help many people. He didn't want us to worship him as a god at all. He recommended that. It is not necessary for people to become a Buddhist in order to practice mindfulness and to profit from the teaching of the Buddha. You don't have to be a Chinese in order to have the authorization to enjoy Chinese food. There are many traditions of cooking that are wonderful. The Greek tradition, the French cooking, the Chinese cooking are very good. It would be a pity if you are committed only to eat the food of your country. We have set up centers of practice of mindfulness that are entirely non-sectarian in America and in Europe. There is no incense burning, there is no Buddhist statue. Everyone coming from every tradition enjoy the practice because the practice of mindfulness can be entirely non-sectarian.